Hi, this is Ed speaking. I hope none of you are old enough to remember this name. You're listening to the 72 show. I hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and joining me, we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And we've got Shane Lees.
Hello.
Are you guys both well?
No.
Yep.
So tired.
I'm on the other hand, absolutely fine.
That's good to hear. Apologies for the delay with the show this week. It's not on its usual Monday slot. Unfortunately, I had a few transport issues Monday night, so... It took me 4 hours to get home, which wasn't very fun. But I'm here now, and we have a show. And also, it means we can cover the full Football League, Leagues 1 and 2, which were played on last night as well. All right, we'll start with the Championship then. Top of the Championship, we've got Newcastle, as they have been for quite a while. Benitez is saying there's still room for improvement after a 2-0 win over Leeds, but... Can they really improve? Can they do any more than what they're doing?
Well, probably not. In all fairness, they're keeping clean sheets and they're scoring goals. I did think both goals on Saturday were gifts by Leeds, especially that first goal. I have no idea. I've watched it back and I still have no idea what Rob Green's even trying to do. It was probably one of the worst goalkeeping mistakes I've seen for a long time.
I'm not sure about that. I'll put it this way, from an amateur goalkeeper's perspective, I personally think what he was trying to do was beat the ball away, because you know if he caught it, he'd have fallen back into his goal. You look at the angle that's coming in, and the way he falls back afterwards immediately anyway, if he catches that, he's going into goal with him. He has to try and beat it away. The mistake he makes is not punching, rather than passing it away. That's what he should have done. It's not as bad a mistake as everyone's making out, but it's not good either, obviously.
I think Robert Green's got the most mistakes in the last 4 years for a goalkeeper. I think he's made 20 mistakes leading to goals.
He single-handedly cost us the World Cup.
Don't get me wrong. This is no defence of Robert Green. Just that one incident.
He's an awful goalkeeper.
So we're not wanting to see him back in the England squad, are we?
No, he shouldn't even be in the Championship. They're scoring goals. Dwight Gale, another couple for him. And, yeah, it's all starting to click. And as I say, I did say at the start of the season, I'll be amazed they drop any points this season. I think they've had two defeats this season. Wolves, Huddersfield and Fulham. I just really can't see them slipping up again. And I think, in all fairness, I know it's a bit of a change of subject. I think they're hot favourites going into their game against Hull. And Hull are obviously a division above.
You talk about them improving. You look at it, they got 40 points from 17 games. If they average what they're doing over the course of the season, they'll set a record points total for the division.
I think that they're going to, yeah.
I mean, in terms of, yeah, could they play a little better? Could they play in a different sort of style? All those kinds of things. Sure, there's always going to be debate for that, but that's just completely subjective. In terms of points they're putting on the board, no, I don't think they could be doing that much better, unless they won every single game, which is asking too much in the Championship. No, they're doing very well. I mean, you look at the players they've signed, a lot of people sort of criticised the money they were spending, but they have signed players who you kind of knew were going to do it in the Championship. Dwight Gale is ridiculously good signing. It was a lot of money for Dwight Gale, but he's an absolutely perfect player for the Championship, isn't he?
Well, yeah, you've got a few of them, like Mo Dialmi, big, strong, powerful in the middle. There's a few of them. There's Grant Hanley at the back. They've just signed players who, as I say, who just know this division inside out, and as I say, it's almost... The performances they're putting in are almost faultless.
It's a weird one, because people have been slating Newcastle's recruitment for the last few years, especially when going to the French leagues. But I think they've got to absolutely hang on for the Championship.
I think one man deserves. I mean, it's all down to Rafa Benitez, in all fairness. I think I still stand by. He's one of the best managers in the world. In all honesty, they are a class above everyone, I think, in this division.
Well, that's the thing, you've got to give him credit, because he's obviously not managed in the Championship before, and he's obviously thinking about that league rather than, you know, sort of signing the best players he can get. I was very critical of Dwight Gale as well at that price. I think it was about 8-9 million, but, you know, now it looks a steal. I think he's top scorer in the Championship, and,
If you're going to spend that much money and on someone like Dwight Gale, or we saw it with Andre Gray as well, Burnley, I don't think it's a waste of money. It's simply every penny's it's money well spent. If you're going to splash that money on a striker who's going to get you promoted, it's as I said, simply money well spent, and you get your money back obviously by getting promoted. As I say, like Andre Gray last season, Burnley, they spent, I think, £11 million on him or whatever it was. Mm. Simply not a waste of money. Every penny was worth it. And simply, if you spend it on the striker, you're going to get what you pay, and you're going to get the rewards at the end of it.
Well, we're saying with Newcastle, they need to be consistent. Another manager who's been talking about consistency is the Reading boss, Jaap Stam. They're currently third in the league. And he's just said it's ensuring, you know, we get that consistency. And he was saying as well, which I thought was quite interesting, he said he's not as focused on planning the way his side's going to play. He's more interested in what the opposition are going to come out and do, and specifically looking to counter them, which I thought was quite an interesting thing to come out with.
Yeah. They're a good side. I think they're beginning to really get noticed now, sliding up the league to third in the league. I think that people are really taking them seriously now. As I say, Jaap Stam's really got the hang of management, and I think everything seems to be going right for them at the moment. I think obviously naturally with teams like Reading, quite a thin squad, it's getting through Christmas, getting to that January, adding a few players in, and it's sort of seeing if you're still where you want to be at that stage of the season. I think they'll be fine. So I think Jaap Stam's he's proven to be a great manager in this league, so they'll be fine, I think.
But yeah, you do have to credit Reading for how well they've done, and Jaap Stam specifically. But at the same time, you look at that squad, it was always a good squad, Reading. They should have been doing a lot better a lot sooner than they have been. That is a side that it's always had that sort of potential, and it's always had a bit more of the money, and you always get... It's always surprising when you get halfway through a championship season and you're seeing Reading right there in the middle or near the bottom, and you're thinking, what the hell is a club like that doing there? So it's, you know, without being to be harsh, it's about time that they start doing this well.
Mm-hmm. Nick, I presume you watched the Brighton game with Villa. Thought Villa were a bit unlucky not to win their game. It was a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, went down to it. Eventually got to the game due to the calamity that continues to be Southern Railway, but that's a...
It's a podcast in its own right.
It could be your nightly talking about them, but not onto the game. Yeah, we didn't simply show up. It was the standards we set. Obviously, recently we were nowhere near those standards. We have struggled after the international weekend every game this season, which is a bit strange. But no, Villa were the much better team, I thought, all night. And it's probably, again, would have gone and lost last season, in all honesty. But I think that's, again, the difference proving to be Glenn Murray. It was an absolute outstanding goal by Murray, and in my opinion, the best striker in the championship. It was just a complete class strike. And I think we've got the best striker in the championship. And when you've got a player like him on the pitch, you can get points out of nothing, which we certainly did. And they're a great side. They look quality in all areas of the pitch. So Steve Bruce, obviously a very good appointment, and I think they'll certainly be climbing the table, and I think at least they'll be in the playoffs this season. But yeah, I'd say for us, it's certainly 1 point gained.
I have to say about Brighton, I don't think they've got near enough the credit they deserve this season, because a lot of teams, after what happened last year, the way they went out in the playoffs, a lot of teams could have folded after that. They could have just been bereft of confidence, and you have to give massive credit to Houston, because they're up there.
Yeah.
Houston and Newcastle. It's 5 points. And we can say, you know, Newcastle are on course, if they do as well as they're doing, to breaking a championship points table. Look how well Brighton are on course to do. It's unbelievable, especially after last season, especially the fact they haven't spent that much money in comparison to the other championship sides, or they're not really doing anything that much different. It's such a credit to the manager and the players and the coaching staff there, how well they're doing. I don't want to, you know, completely put up Nick's ego here, but it is ridiculous how well they're doing for a team almost of that stature, because they don't, it's not like a Reading situation where you go, they should have been doing better all these years. They're overachieving here. And after what happened last season, that is it's a massive effort. And so they've got to be given a ton of credit. I think the majority of that has to go to Eton.
What well, he's been very sensible over the record signing they smashed was a centre-back. Obviously, you look at that and go, oh, I just spent that much money on a defender, but it's proven to work. We've got Murray in on, obviously, on loan from Bournemouth, which, as I say, I think that signing speaks for itself. And Shane Duffy and Dunk, they've been outstanding at the back. And they've signed squad players in Ollie Norwood and Steve Sidwell as well, and they've been brilliant when they've been called upon.
What about Aston Villa, Shane? What do you think of them? They're obviously unbeaten under Steve Bruce. Do you think they can continue their rise up the table and get like a playoff or something? Or
I'm still not that optimistic about Villa. Yes, they're doing better under Bruce, but he's obviously a very good championship manager. I'm still not certain about the owners. So let's say they finish seventh this year. With owners like that, you're never sure if they can go, okay, that's progress. We're not screwed. Or they're going to say, right, you're sacked. Goodbye, good luck. What they did was they did the same as Fulham did. They went down and they looked very much like they could go down again, and they've sort of stabilised. But at the same time, you don't think of Fulham, even though they're having a good season, you're still not thinking, yeah, they're in competition to go up in a year, 2 years. Aston Villa, I still think they're in for the long haul in the Championship. Within 5 years, maybe, you could see them back in the Premier League, but I wouldn't expect it to be anytime soon. What they need to do, and what I hope they do, is they keep with Bruce for a while. They start to stabilise that squad. They start to do a new custom for that squad, which is you bring in players that perfect fits for the Championship, and you slowly build from there. I'm not going to give them too much credit for, you know, doing as well as they're doing, because frankly, it's a squad that is much better than the Championship. I do think it's a squad that should be first or second. You know, if Newcastle were in there, you'd say that's probably the best team there is, and Steve Bruce is probably one of the best managers in the Championship. So I think you can only say well done so much. We have to say. You know, it's not all that. It's well done, but it's not all that.
Okay. Another team who are rising up the table with a new manager, Steve McLaren, coming in Derby County. They won 3-0 at the weekend. Tom Ince scored a couple, missed two penalties as well. But the first one, he missed the penalty and then scored the rebound. And then, yeah, missed out on a hat-trick. But best performance of the season, I thought.
Yeah, well, with Derby, I mean, at the start of the season, and you look at it, and it should be, for a team like Derby, that should be nothing else than 3 points. No disrespect to them, of course. But, I mean, at the start of the season, they'd have probably gone and drawn that 0-0, or even potentially lost it 1-0. So it proves that, as I said, they've certainly improved. They're starting to certainly finding their feet. And more importantly, players are actually starting to deliver. Mm-hmm. Like Tom Ince and Dan Bentz. They're finally getting the goals that they should be getting. So I think they're finally delivering. And, 12th in the league, is to say, that's nothing really, is it? They can easily get the playoffs, if not more.
Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about a couple of teams that are in bad form as well. Huddersfield, they've only got one win in six now. They've lost 3-2 to Cardiff. Mentioned earlier about changing reacting to the opposition with Jack Stammer. That's what Cardiff said they did. They said they saw that they were playing, that Huddersfield were playing three centre-halves and reacted to that. So Cardiff now at the relegation zone. Cardiff and Huddersfield only one win in six.
Yep, Huddersfield has certainly gone off the boil. But I think fair credit, they're still in the playoffs. What, they're still hanging in there. They're starting to realise that this league is a tough, tough league. And I think we touched on it, giving Brighton praise. I think Huddersfield deserve so much praise as well under David Wagner. They're certainly not a team that's been splashing the money here, there, and everywhere. They've been doing fine. They're starting to pick up a bad spell. Every team in the Championship will go through this dodgy spell. It happens. They just need to make sure they just keep battling, getting that win, and then it will sort itself out, really. But Cardiff away, it's a tough game at this stage of the season under Warnock. And they've got, again, Cardiff got some big players there, and it's not going to be an easy place to go, Cardiff, for the rest of the season. I just would have found that out. I'm sure Huddersfield will find out the hard way in a few games as well this season.
Well, yeah, if you could have offered the Huddersfield fans fourth spot at the end of the season, they'd buy your arm off of it, wouldn't they? Mm. They're still doing very well, and as Nick says, everyone's going to go through a bad spell in the Championship. It's 46 games. You cannot boss it for 46 games. You have to have those bad spells eventually. So, yeah, they still deserve massive credit. Cardiff are one of those teams. Just you never know what you're going to get from them, do you? It's chaos. They can be amazing sometimes, and then the rest of the time they're just pure shit. Like the fact that a team like Cardiff were even in danger of relegation to League One, it's ridiculous. So yeah, they really need to step off a little bit and do quite a lot better before they even start getting any praise.
Just sticking with Cardiff, getting out of the relegation zone. What do you think of the relegation battle? Do you think, well, Rotherham look like they're completely screwed, but after that, do you think Cardiff will be safe?
There's worse sides at the bottom of the table than Cardiff, but at the same time, there are plenty of bigger sides who have gone down. It's a case of they've technically got quite a good team, but you have to question the players' mentalities, because it's clearly not quite right. There's clearly something wrong in the change room. Maybe it's coming down from the board. It's very possible. But it's clear they haven't got the right kind of characters for the championship. And yes, I think they should be safe just because of the quality they have. But at the same time, you look at like the sort of togetherness you're going to get out of a side like Burton, or the consistency you can get from a side like Wolves. You'd be shocked, wouldn't you, if they went down. But at the same time, it would make a lot of sense if they did go down. Because you do think Blackburn, they go through massive periods every season. Sometimes they're just awful, other times they're then on fire. So they could have enough of those good spells to pull them out of it. So I think it's very possible they could go down, and at least one quite big club in terms of the championship is going to have to go down this season. Blackburn, Wolves, Cardiff, Forest even are in danger. Those are big, big clubs, and if they're in League One, that's just, it's crazy almost. It's almost unthinkable.
Yeah,
I think Cardiff will be all right. Personally, I think under Warnock, with the players like Ricky Lambert, Junior Hoyleg, Anthony Pilkinson, I think they've got a good squad there. I think they'll be fine. But as Shane said, we've seen big clubs go down. We've sort of, we laughed off in recent years. We've laughed off Wolves getting relegated. You've laughed off Wigan last season a couple of seasons ago getting relegated. And even to some extent last season, we were laughing Bolton off getting relegated until it got too severe. And it was almost accepted, but no, it can easily happen. But like I said, I think under Warnock and just that bit of extra quality they've got there, I think they'll be okay.
Just to complete the championship review, Ian Holloway made his return to QPR. I'll come on to QPR in a minute. I just want to mention Norwich, though. They beat 2-1. Norwich were down to 10 men for the whole game, and it's another loss for them. And they're now down to 6. Poor run of form.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me also getting, he's just a red card. Wait, it's happened, he's an awful player, in all honesty, and I'm looking at him pretty much a guy. So, keep your play credit to Ian Holloway at the start. Just it's all about building on from that, really. It's not, they can't really get over sort of way by it. They need to just keep battling, take every game as it comes, and see where it ends up, because, I said last week, it's an appointment that can definitely work, and positive results like this, then as I say, they could be in for a good end to the season.
Do we prefer Ian Holloway as a pundit on Sky Sports, or do we prefer him as a manager doing his interviews?
So long as he's on TV, I don't care. He's brilliant.
He was saying at the weekend he was struggling not to look like a blubbering weasel, and he was hoping he looked more like a swan at the weekend. So he tried to keep his composure. All right, we'll move on. We'll move on to League One, and another figure, Tim Sherwood at Swindon. I just want to talk about it. So I saw a little video on the BBC. He's officially he's the director of football, but he was doing a pre-match team talk, and it seems like he's getting quite involved with the manager, and we're not sure whether he's actually the manager really. Luke Williams is officially the manager, but.
It's the case of modern footballing titles are basically irrelevant. It's a bit like anything with a job title. A job title can say one thing, but your actual role can be something completely different. Like, they've got head coach. What does head coach mean? Does head coach mean you're the leader of the coaches, or does head coach mean you're the manager of the team? Does director of football mean you're in charge of transfers, or is that what the chief executive is supposed to be doing? Or are you in charge of football stuff? Are you directing football? It's all bloody irrelevant. So when people are like, is he the manager, is he? He's getting too hung up on what the term manager specifically means. He's whatever job he's doing. Which, if he's doing tactics, if he's choosing the teams, then that's his job. That's what he's doing. And he deserves the credit for when it goes well, and he deserves criticism when it goes badly. Simple as that, as I'm concerned.
Do you think that's a good way for him to cover himself? So if things go well, he can say, oh, I've done this as director of football. And if it goes badly, he can say, well, I wasn't really that involved. That was the manager's.
If anything, it gives coverage to the board, not him. Because that way, he's critical for both roles he's either doing or not doing. He's critical for the director of football role and the manager role. He can turn around and say, well, that's not quite my job, but everyone knows it is. So it's the board saying, well, we never really hired a proper manager anyway, so, or, oh yeah, well, we did hire him for Rob, he just clearly wasn't good enough for it. They're giving themselves a bit more coverage in doing this. I think it all turns out well when he can just sort of supersede Williams in being the actual manager in terms of having that title.
Mm. Have you got any thoughts on Tim Sherwood, Nick?
No, I think, as I say, he's obviously itching to get back into it, isn't he? Swindon's a bit of an odd club, though. I don't know whether he's down that way as well, but I think obviously having a big influence from someone who's done that, managed at the top, it could help Swindon out. I know it's not, I mean, they're struggling this season, but as I said, I don't really know what to think of it, to be honest. I think you just have to wait and see if it works. It's a genius. If it doesn't, it's a calamity, really.
Mm. Well, it's been a bit dodgy, the results recently. They lost 4-0 at home to Rochdale on Saturday and then a 1-0 draw with Southend last night. And it's not, well, they're just out of the relegation zone, 2 points out of 18th place. We'll move on to another manager, Stephen Gerrard, who was apparently linked with the MK Dons job. Apparently that's now off the table, but quite funny to hear that he was linked with that role and there were conversations about it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where he's got to start somewhere if he wants to get into management. And I thought it would be quite a good appointment. It was a young team, MK Dons. It seems it could really work, but for some reason the talks, obviously, they've decided it'd be better if it doesn't happen. But you've got to start somewhere if you want to get into management. You're obviously not going to go down the sort of Zidane route and just get given one of the biggest jobs in the country. So I think they both obviously decided it's not going to work. But no, fair play for having a go, and I would like to see him become manager one. I think he's obviously one of England's greatest players. I think it'll be good to see.
I'm glad he didn't just become the manager straight away. I mean, how many coaches and assistant managers and caretakers and all that are working hard for years and years and years, but just because they don't have a recognisable name, despite their talent, they're not getting offered the big jobs. Just because they don't have a recognisable name. Why does Gerrard have a divine right to be a manager? He doesn't. He's a divine right to be a very good footballer because he was one for so many years. And maybe if he goes into coaching, he proves he's a very good coach, as he was a captain, then okay, from that he can go into another, or maybe an assistant manager and show that he can do that, and maybe a manager. It's just like, sometimes it happened with Gary Neville. Oh, he's good at this, therefore manager. You can't just skip out of that whole massive gap where you actually learn the intricacies of the job. It's no wonder some of these younger managers are failing, because they're just not learning. You look at like managers like Jose Mourinho, when he came in when he was quite young, or even like Eddie Howe, they're not just jumping straight into management, they're going through the process. They're going through being coaches. They're going under working under other great managers. You don't just do it all instantly. The good managers that we've got going around the world right now, even the young ones, they went through the process. Stephen Gerrard didn't go through that process. He would have failed that, I'm sure of it. Because you can't just go, well, I was a great Premier League player, so I'll be a great League One manager. It's just sheer arrogance.
It's a white light, man.
It's sheer arrogance to think that's how it's going to work. And it doesn't. You need to go through the process. We wonder in this country why we have so few good English managers, so few good English coaches, because we're not doing the process properly. We're just going, we know the name, throw them into that job. Default action. We're not actually focused on quality or on proper training. We're just sort of going, yeah, we know who Rio Ferdinand is. Yeah, we know who Graham Lasso is. Let's put him on an FA bloody board to go and decide who's the next manager. What the hell? What was that? None of it makes any real sense. If you're trying to think about it in an actual logical, we're hiring someone for a job, you know, mode. I'm not surprised he didn't get the job, and I'm really glad he did, because that would have, if he could be a good manager, maybe he will, a very good one one day, this would have gone against him. This could have been like a bad start, like Gary Neville at Valencia, where it just absolutely kicked confidence right out of him, and suddenly they're not so sure if they want to do that.
So what should Gerrard do, take on like a coaching role somewhere, say at Liverpool or elsewhere, before getting a chance at managing? How low do you expect him to go? Like, look at someone like Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who, well, I think he was unfortunate to get sacked, but he started at Burton and he built himself up well, I think, and he rejected bigger offers.
Yeah, okay, some people can go and do it because they are just naturally very talented, but they're the anomalies, they're the exceptions, not the rule. The rule is, generally, you do your training, you work your way up, and that's how you end up being good at that particular job. In terms of how low should you go, you know, it's becoming a coach is essentially the bottom rung there, isn't it? It's either do you go and coach the young kids, do you go and coach the under-18s, the under-21s or whatever, or do you go straight in as a coach for the senior team? That would probably be where I'd say he should go and do it. Probably not Liverpool. I'd like to see him get out of his comfort zone. I'd like to see him go into a position where he's not instantly respected and loved straight away, and where he doesn't have that security in fullback where the fans have his back no matter what. So if he got, I don't know, a coaching job at, say, I don't know, club off the top of my head, Rotherham, something like that. If he got a coaching job at one of these clubs, or, you know, a middling Premier League club, if he went and worked under Tony Pulis as a coach at West Brom, that would be a really good start, because then he's going to have the opportunity to learn from people, he's going to have to get out of his comfort zone. And then maybe if he ends up, you know, really impressing, he can become an assistant manager, then maybe when they move on, maybe he can get promotion to being the top job. Or maybe he can...
Well, like Giggs is doing.
Yeah, definitely. Giggs is doing it the right way around. Now, we don't know if he's going to be a good manager or not, but he's going through the process, so he's got a hell of a lot more to fall back on. And when he starts applying for these jobs, likes of which MK Dons talk about more, he can actually say, look, I've got experience at the actual job. I can do this. I've been the assistant manager under top managers before. I know what the job entails. If you're Stephen Gerrard, you can say, well, I've been a captain at Liverpool, I've kicked the ball around. Great, lots of people have kicked the ball around. Lots of people can be footballers. To be a manager, it's something, it's completely different. We all have it in our jobs, where there's people there and you go, yeah, they're really good at their job, but I don't know if they can be management. I don't know if they could actually lead me. Plenty of people. And it's the same situation with footballers. I don't know why so often we don't look at football the same way as we look at other, you know, offices and businesses, in the sense that it's the same basic dynamic. There's a hierarchy, there's seniority, there's people who are in charge of people, there's managers and all of that. There's team leaders, which are captains and all that. Why don't we look at it the same way? And then we'd look at the basic way we're doing things in this country in terms of hiring managers, working with coaches, all that, and we'd just say, we just have no order to it. There's no general standard. It's just, do we know who this person's name is? Punt in it.
All right, we'll move on from that. I just wanted to... talk about Berry. Flitcroft has left the club, their manager. I tried looking on their website trying to find information on whether he'd been sacked or resigned or whatever, but it's not clear either way. But it's a terrible run of form they're on, and it's continued even without him, with a 5-1 loss against Wimbledon, and then they lost 1-0 against Sheffield United last night.
Yeah, I think it's... Well, I know it's not so long ago, it's played quite well, how well they were doing. It's a funny old game football. If you go on a bad run, and obviously in these days and age, your job can go in football, and I'm afraid it's the nature of the game these days. Do I agree with it? Probably not. I think given the size of the club, I don't know who they'll be able to attract. He seemed to have a lot of respect for the players. However, the board, in that token, the board, obviously they probably, what their ambitions are, they really want to get promotion, and they thought it's not going anywhere, then they have every right to sack him. And as I say, they be interesting to see if they can get in and see where David Flitcroft can end up.
It's a strange one, because he won Manager of the Month only recently in League One as well.
Yeah, as I say, it proves that a bad run of form, and people can hit the panic button and sack you. But I think I don't think they're going to get much higher than League One. But hey, I've seen it with other clubs like Burton Albion, Yeovil in recent years. That's really what the owners feel, and they've decided that it's the right time to sack. I don't think he'll have too much towards fun. I think he's proven that he's a pretty good manager and can do a job at this level.
Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about a team that news have come out. They're struggling financially as well as on the pitch. Oldham, they're 22nd in the league, so obviously things not going too well with there. But off the pitch, apparently they owe £300,000 to the tax man, and there's further debts as well to other clubs for loans and transfers. They're going to be under a transfer embargo, and it looks quite likely that's going to continue into the January transfer window.
It's one of those things you go, yeah, that's really, you know, it's sad and all that, and you don't want to see a club go through that. Sometimes, though, it does just irritate me how insular football can be, in the sense of, if Wayne Rooney decided he didn't want to get paid for 2 weeks, he could pay off all of Oldham's problems. It's one of those things. I know he's got no obligation to do it, or any of the equivalent players earning that money have no obligation to, but sometimes you think, football, can you just have a whip round and help some of these guys out? Because it's it's not the, you know, the board who are going to have to really deal with it. All of that, like, you know, if they've got the money, they'll still be rich at the end of it. They'll go off and get some other job. It's the fans that suffer. They're the only ones who really suffer from it. And the players, and when you're talking about that level, it's players who just want to play football. They care about playing football. These are the people who suffer. Sometimes it just annoys me how some of these big clubs especially just aren't looking out for the smaller clubs. And they do have an obligation because this is the foundation of football. It's these leagues below the Premier League. That's what makes it happen. So, I get irritated when I see stuff like this happen. Because it always happens. It's once every few seasons. One of these clubs goes through it. And I think, this could have been solved so easily. Wouldn't have even had to go outside of football to do it. You wouldn't have even had to have had, a bloody fundraiser on the BBC. One club could do it in an instant. The players at that club could do it in an instant. Yeah, it annoys me.
No, I can see what you're saying. And but as I say, it's you never like to see it. And I hope they can get out. So instead of, we play against Oldham a few times in the league. It's a very loyal bunch of supporters. And you don't want to see it. But as I say, you're sort of almost struggling to see some light in the tunnel, and you've just really got to hope that the supporters can stick by and everyone can sort of pull together and hope the performances can come out on the pitch, and sort of you just hope that the problems off the pitch don't translate onto the pitch that we've mentioned on this show plenty of times. They've got a very young team, they're older, and as you say, it's sort of you just don't want to see it happen, and just need to hope that I hope that there's a wealthy investor in the local area, I guess.
The only side toward the bottom of the team, bottom of the league, which won yesterday, was Chesterfield. A great win for them. They've come off the bottom of the table and beat MK Dons 3-2, so decent opponents.
Yeah, it's 3 points against another side that's going to be down there this year, isn't it? So if you win those games, that can be enough to pull you out of it. You've got to give them credit for that.
It's 6 points. And so, as I say, when you're beating your rivals, you might not want to call it this stage of the season a 6-pointer, but full credit to them, and some substitutes that came off and did it for them. Christian Dennis and Dan Gardner, they came off the bench and both scored. So I think Danny Wilson will take a bit of credit for that, Chester manager. But no, say it again, it does prove that if you are coming off the bench, you need to be ready and go into the action, and full credit to Chesterfield for that, and big win for them, and hopefully they can kick on.
And at the top of the table, it was two wins in a row for... sorry, I just got a load of feedback then for some reason. Alright, at the top of the table, it was there's been two wins for the top three Scunthorpe, Sheffield United, Bolton. They both won on Saturday and Tuesday, and are they perhaps pulling away from the rest, or can, you know, the likes of Bradford, Peterborough, Rochdale, can they get involved in the automatic?
It's a very strong league this year, and I think all you've got to do is lose one game and there'll be teams ready to pounce on you like tomorrow. So I don't think it's going to be in the championship stage where you've got someone like Newcastle around. I think League One's going to be very tight this year at the top, and I think there's a lot of quality in this division. And I don't think we're going to see anyone run away. All things can simply do is just keep going, keep battling, and hope for the best, really. But Scunthorpe, yeah, they're setting some very good standards this year. Obviously the supporters are reacting and everyone's working together. Neil Bishop with the goal scoring, he's been around for a while. They've got a very good setup there. They've got some experience with Neil Bishop, players like that. And so they've got the young lads like Josh Morris. We've seen him score goals after goals after goals this season. So Scunthorpe are very well set up. And Bolton, they've really taken to League One. I mean, in a weird way, it's caught everyone by surprise how well they've actually done. I mean, well, I thought it would be not a season of struggle, but a season of consolidation in this division. But they're coming to have open arms, and they say that they're performing on the pitch week in, week out, and they want to attempt the championship the first time of asking.
I think what you're going to see in League One this year is a battle between the top three sides, and it'll maybe towards the end of the year become a battle between second and third, a battle for sort of the sixth and fifth spaces between, so, you know, the likes of Wimbledon and Peterborough and all that lot, and fourth place would generally be quite secure. I think that's the way it's going to sort of roll out as the season progresses. It's already starting to go that way. You've got a 5-point gap between fifth and fourth, and you're starting to see a bit of a gap grow between Bradford and Bolton. So I think, you're going to see it slowly you know, separated into little sections.
Is there a chance, sir, we could see Wimbledon in the championship next season and MK Dons in League Two?
Oh, I'd love to hope.
Oh, I love that. I think that would be justice for football.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go on to League Two. Talk about perhaps an injustice in football. Leighton Orient have sacked their manager Alberto Cavasin, who he took over. I know. On this show, we criticised the sacking of Andy Hessentaylor, bringing him in, and yeah, his replacement Cavasin's been sacked. He lost five games in the league, and they're now level on points with 23rd place, just above the relegation zone.
I think this is the first time I've actually called Sonic. I think I said he wouldn't last till, I'd be amazed if he lasted till Christmas, and he hasn't. So no surprise there. It's the supporters I feel sorry for. It's the club's been in shambles this year in the way they've made some decisions. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but it just clearly seems like it's just not the bone to plan, and they really need to sort themselves out and pass those. They will simply be relegated out of the Football League. And it's not fair on the supporters at all. They need to get the right man in. And I think, most of all, I think they need to think about getting new owners in, because this guy just clearly seems to be a bit of a fruit loop. And I don't want them to do it, because they're already struggling with West Ham on their doorstep now with a massive stadium. I think them going into non-league could effectively kill the club altogether, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people talk about how there's stability in football. You know, you always see these clubs in the top four here, these clubs going down and going up and, you know, yo-yoing here and there. These clubs are always going to be middle of the table. Leighton Orient are a perfect example of a club whose fate was basically decided on the flip of a coin. Flip the coin heads and you get the Olympic Stadium, tails and you don't. You get the Olympic Stadium, this is a club that could have been really significantly on the up. It's a stadium of our size in League One, and the sort of long-term prospects it could bring, that could have been a club in the Premier League in 4 or 5 years. Don't get it. West Ham move in on you, and suddenly the crisis is just—it's doubled down on the bad management, the bad, you know, direction from the boardroom. All of a sudden, it's just so much more potent, and you're in the threat of dying as a club, whereas you could have been flying higher than ever. People talk about football as, you know, it's very predictable. You can always see what's coming. This side's always going to win. This side's probably going to go down. This is one of those times when you think anything can happen with this club, and it is so sad for the fans that it's going the way it's going, because sometimes I think if you're a fan of a smaller club, and, you know, I've been a Southampton fan for all my life, we've been down in League One, we've been down in the Championship, sometimes you think it is just all weighted, all of it, in favour of those big clubs. And for Leighton Orient, they must be kicking themselves and thinking, if only we were just a bit more recognisable than West Ham, that would have been it, we'd have got that, and all of a sudden we're not screwed as a club. It's so harsh sometimes, football.
Yeah. Well, they lost 1-0 to Exeter last night, and that's Exeter would have been bottom of the table. Well, they come up from bottom of the table. It looks like Newport, I think, will be okay, because Wesley's come out, got three wins, and it's hard to see Leighton Orient not going down. I don't know what you guys think of the relegation.
Well, with Newport, I think Graham Wesley, I've heard him say that. I don't know if we discussed it last week or not, but he wants promotion. Yeah. So you can't fault the guy's ambition, but I think they're really kicking, and they've got a great manager in Graham Wesley. And again, that proves get the right manager in, and you can get away in with Orient. That's what I hope and pray they do get the right man in to get away. And so Newport looking like they'll be fine. Gary Johnson's got a steady unit there. Paul Tisdale knows to score Exeter. So yeah, I do worry for Leighton Orient.
You have to be quite happy for Exeter, because they got Paul Tisdale. So from the boardroom down, they're clearly looking for stability. They've clearly got the right idea about what they want from, you know, football. They're bringing through young players. I mean, what's that player? Ethan Ampadu?
Yeah.
I can't know how to pronounce it. You know, they're trying to go about things the right way. So you're always quite glad with a club like that. It sort of starts to work itself out. They start to improve. I'll be very, very happy if they manage to stay up this season and hopefully build on from there.
I think with Exeter, I think if they won't be... I think given how long Tisdale's there, they won't do anything drastic and sack him up mid-season. I think it seems like it would be, they'll do it at the end of the season if they both want to part their different ways. I don't think they'll probably do it mid-season. So I mean, that would just cause too much distress, I think. But no, there might not even be any need to at the moment. They can keep picking up points.
I know at Colchester they I saw their striker Curtis Guthrie, he joined the club in the summer. He had a right go in at the weekend because he was complaining that the club were in a relegation battle. He didn't come for that, and he said the whole thing's a shambles and we keep getting battered. They were winless in 10 games, but obviously that had an effect because they beat Cheltenham, who were down to 10. They won that game 3-0, and they're up to 17th, so a bit of breathing space for them.
Yeah, Colchester surprised me this season because they didn't make loads of changes to the squad that got rid of. I mean, with them getting ready to get out of League One last year, I think they scored a lot of goals, but it was just their defence that was a shambles. And as I said, I think that was the main area they really need to strengthen. But they didn't make loads of changes to their team. So I'm pretty surprised to see where they are in the league, but it is what it is, and you can't really start going off blasting off on that, blaming your teammates, because that would only make things worse. But like big win at Cheltenham 3-0, you know, that could be the kick they all need, and they can move on.
Mm-hmm. At the top of the table, Plymouth were looking very strong, but they've lost the last two games now after being unbeaten in 14. They lost to Grimsby at the weekend, and then again last night, 2-0 to Barnet. So it's given the other teams a bit of hope they can catch up. And is this the start of what happened last season, where they started very strongly and then just faded away? Or,
well, like we say, every team goes through a bad run of form, and I think it's kicked in now for them. And it's just a case of getting that win to stop the bad run from happening. And fair play to Barnet, they've gone there. They haven't gone there just to make up the numbers. They've gone there to win a match, and they've done that in a star way, so Martin Allen will never accept a defeat. And full credit to Barnet, big win for them. And Plymouth though, but say they just need to hope they can get out this run. They just need that win, the ugly 1-0 win, just to stop the bad thing from happening, I think. And they'll be fine. I think they start the season off very strong. And like you say, they just need to hope that it doesn't go down the same stage as last season, really.
Mm-hmm. Just the final thing I want to mention, Lee, too. The new Mansfield boss, Steve Evans, he's managed 2-1, great record so far, and he's given the players a lot of praise in the interview I watched, and that 1 point off the playoffs. So we said it was a strange sacking at the time, and Steve Evans has obviously made an all right start.
What makes me wonder that if they had it lined up, if they had him lined up, if they did, you could say it's almost a stroke of genius, getting it Evans in whilst you can. Obviously, he knows the Football League inside out. But you cannot really start off any better. They're scoring goals and they've kept two clean sheets out too. I think they, with that appointment, they're really going to, I think they'll be up there at the end of the season. It's been a perfect start for him. And I think they just need to keep it going, really. I suspect in January he'll probably want to bring a few in. I think there'll be ones to watch at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to add on League 2, Shane?
In terms of, I think Portsmouth deserve credit. I almost don't like saying it, but they're doing well. I mean, people could not for not getting promoted for as long as they have. But at the end of the day, it's almost like the same situation with Brighton being in second again. You've got to give credit to a club that keeps on pushing on. You've got to give credit to a club that keeps on trying, especially when they've had the knockbacks they've had. And Portsmouth have been absolutely kicking to the dirt as a club. I have to say, I don't enjoy it. Yes, we can have our chance and all that lot, and that's good fun, but at the same time, you want to play these sides. I've said this so many times on this podcast. You want to play them every year, and you never get an opportunity to sandwich fans. So I'm glad to see Portsmouth are still in the right position. They're still doing the right kind of things. They've stuck with youth development. They've got good young players coming through the season. So yeah, I'm quite glad that they're in a good position to go up finally this year, and I hope they can get that third or second spot and get into League One and maybe keep on from there.
So another tough place to go, Luton, as well. It's one of the toughest places in League Two. So it's beaten 3-1. I know they played very, very well with Luton and Ports. So full credit to Paul Cook and his players.
All right. Just to finish, it was the FA Cup first round replays last week. Couple of good games. National League, Solihull Moors knocked out Yeovil. They beat them 4-2 on penalties. Fantastic to see them in the second round.
Yeah, big win for them, and I saw their manager saying it was a very lucky win, but that's what the Cup's all about at the end of the day, isn't it? It's, you may not deserve the win, but it's all about getting your name into the round two.
Mm-hmm. two other teams, which are National League teams, which knocked out Football League opposition. James Arnson scored a hat-trick after getting changed in the car. And he scored a hat-trick for Brackley Town, who knocked out Gillingham 4-3 after extra time.
They're the stories I love to hear about the FA Cup, and it's why it's my favourite competition in the world. As I say, they were quality Brackley as well, watching their game on the BT Sport. They were outstanding. And full credit to say it's not a team that's made up of former pro here and there. You got changed in the car, and I'm like, oh, God, it's a great day job. So that's the stories you like to hear, and full credit to them, and they fully deserve their place in the second round, and they've got a trip to Blackpool, and you never know, that could be a winnable game. Blackpool, obviously, we no need for introduction about what's going on there, so I easily think they can cause an upset.
Eastleigh beat Swindon 3-1. They played them off the park as well, and that's another League One side out. Might see them in round three again this year.
Yeah, well, they've got one of the biggest budgets, if not the biggest budget in non-league. But full credit to them. Full credit to Ronnie Moore to go to a League One club. No matter what, I mean, that's it again. We said budgets go out the window. You're going to a Football League club, you're going to have nerves, and they dismantled them, really, in all honesty. And it's a big win for them, and full credit. They're in the second round. Certainly a winner. Ben, it's a chance to make the third round for the second year running.
Just looking forward. I've got the second round fixtures. The TV fixtures have been announced. So Macclesfield Town v Oxford United will be on Friday night on the BBC, and then Curzon Ashton v Wimbledon Sunday on BT. And BT also got Lincoln City v Oldham. Should be some decent games there.
Yeah, it's what I like to see in the cup. I think it'd be nice to see as many non-league teams in the third round as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck to them all. Stourbridge, maybe, from the Southern Premier. I don't think there's anything lower than that. Stourbridge, again, it'd be nice to see some non-league teams in the third round, because I know it's when the big boys come in, but I find it's all about the little teams trying to get their day out, their big day out. Change of club's fortune for the whole season, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly certain it's Curzon Ashton, aren't they?
I thought they were Conference.
Conference North, I think. I thought they were.
Stourbridge the league below, but I could be wrong.
All right, you can check out our website at v2football.com. Also, find our Twitter at v2football. Thanks for joining us. It's good night from me, and good night from Nick Davey and Shane Lees. Good night.
Good night.